Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's
Each week, they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff, too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Okay. I can't wait for to see Paris in G.I. Jane 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
slap.
Holy man. Hey, Rusty, how are you, brother? Another episode of The Suspendables coming up. And we're jumping on the wagon. Jumping on the wagon. Of course, we come to each and every week. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Today, it's just me and Rusty. Hasn't been for a while. I put out all the feelers, Rusty, for more guests. Here's what we're working on. I know you hate when I say that.
Oh, my God. Oh, here we go.
Here's the big letdown, everybody.
Here's what I'm going to... You know what? I may pull something out of my hat, out of my ass. Yeah. I would love to get him on because we don't talk politics. But I've got an in with the Prime Minister, Rusty. Okay? I got an in. My father was...
Which country?
Yeah. Shut up. My father was a sitting member of parliament, and he got in 1968 with Pierre Trudeau.
Yeah.
It was a big liberal sweep. My dad got in there, and he stayed there till 79 when he was Speaker of the House. But so I know Justin. I've met him a few times. We recognize, of course,
in rehab?
No. Oh, stop it, man. Anyway, one day we're going to do two things. I always say this. We're going to go live with what we say before we start recording stuff. I'm going to get him on because we're not going to talk politics. Okay.
Yeah. No comment.
No, we're not going to do it. Bunch of stuff to talk about, Rusty, on the show today. First of all,
no fucking comment.
Yeah. the Will Smith thing. We got to talk about that. There's some stuff that guys are weighing in a bit about referees. We don't talk to you very often about that. I want to get your take. There's a really interesting stat. Kyle Dubas, who's the president GM of the Leafs, was asked about refereeing because there was a real obvious call against Austin Matthews the other night, fully held, fully tackled. Yeah. It ended up in a goal, Phoenix winning the game. And so this thing about refs comes up and they find out. Dubas makes some great points. He says, well, I'll tell you something about refereeing, okay? No one is happy with the refereeing. The only comment everyone ever makes about refereeing is we're unhappy with the referee when they lose.
Right.
When they win, nobody gives credit to the refs.
Yeah.
Okay? So they're in a terrible position. However, that being said, they look at some stats, and Austin Matthews has been... Penalties have been called on, against the other team, infringing, penalty against Austin 9 times.
That's it.
Connor McDavid.
So he's drawn 9 penalties. That's it.
Right. You don't believe that, right? But
no, that's unreal.
Yes. It ranks him 304th in the league.
Right.
Connor McDavid, 44 times.
Wow. There you go.
He's first in the league with 44 penalties called against. So we're going to talk about some of that.
It's crazy how many stats they have, like new stats. And
isn't that revealing, though?
It says everything.
Dubas makes a great point. I don't think he's speaking out against Connor, but he says, here's two reasons why Austin doesn't get called for penalties. One is he seldom falls down.
Yeah.
And the other one is he never complains.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize about the kid because I saw him the other day. I go, everyone's freaking out but him.
Yeah.
So that'll be it. We'll talk about some of that.
He's a great kid, I'll tell you. I've known him since he was 9 years old, and he was a humble kid when I met him. And he's an incredibly humble kid, young man now.
Right.
And he's just anybody who gets a chance to meet him, you're just going to walk away and go, wow, that is an incredible human being.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about that. Eugene Melnyk, owner of the Ottawa senators died at 62 years old. No one really knew he was sick. Of course, you go back to when he got an organ transplant. But he died yesterday. So obviously he's ill. I don't have many more details on that, but anyway, we'll talk about, controversial owner. Today's maybe not the day to talk about all the controversies surrounded the guy, but
yeah,
we'll get your thoughts on being an owner in the NHL and how tough it can be. Chris Nyland, Knuckles, he chops in his commentary on a Twitter post, Jonathan Drouin, who's been hurt with a wrist injury. And Nyland comes out almost sarcastically and goes, "Really, kid? Get back in there. Okay, get back in there." Something like that. And anyway, he has to back up on it. But
I texted Nux the other day.
Let's get him on.
Yeah,
let's
get him on. I'll ask him if he'll do the show. I'll text him.
Anyway, we want to get your side of, what are you allowed to say? He's an alumni, of course, now, right? He's well into his 50s. Saw Canada wins the big soccer game.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Isn't that something? Talk about a life-altering change for Canadian soccer and Canadian fans. And I jumped on the wagon. I'm embarrassed, Russ. I put it out right away. Way to go, boys. Way to go. As some guy said, first time we've heard from you, Jim, about soccer, right? So I got a little hacked on that.
Well, it's something for our country to cheer for. You know, we've had a lot of shit going on the last 3 years, a lot of division, a lot of crap, and finally some good news from coast to coast. So that was great.
Right. So let's start. What else do I got down here? I don't know. Goalies. What's the way? How's the way they get talked to in the dressing room? I'm going over sort of emails and comments that people send me during the week. And, it's always been this, don't talk to goalie, don't touch them, don't do anything that way. Leave them alone, blah, 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 blah. So we'll get your comments on some of that. First of all, the Will Smith thing, Rusty, has gone bananas. If you don't know what it is, Chris Rock was presenting an award. Will Smith's there with his wife, Jada. Mm-hmm. Jada Pinkett. Is that her last name?
Something like that.
Jada Pinkett Smith. She's got a hair loss, medical condition. Not fatal. Okay. Nothing serious. I could have it too.
No, you still have your eyebrows.
I do. I still got my eyebrows.
I know four people with it. And the four that I know, they lost all their hair. So they have no, and young people and older people too. But she has what you call, it's patches or something, where just chunks of hair fall out. So she shaves her head. She has stubble all over her head,
right,
which most of these people don't have. And I think she's got her eyebrows, but anyway.
Yeah, it's not fun for sure. It was, so Chris Rock says, hey, Will, blah, 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 you're up for an award, a bunch of commentary. And then he says, Jada, I'm looking forward to seeing you in G.I. Jane 2. Mm-hmm. Which G.I. Jane 1 was Demi Moore, who shaved her head.
Right.
Okay. They flash to Will and Jada when he makes the comments. Will's laughing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Will's laughing. She's kind of straight faced. Then they cut away and they go back to Chris Rock, and you see Chris go, oh, what's happening here? Will Smith steps on the stage and throttles him in the face.
He barely hit him, actually, if you watch it in slow motion.
The concerning thing, Rusty, for me, is not so much the, first of all, everyone susses it out, goes, is this a fake? I think it's not a fake, as we find out later, right? You got to hear from the two parties, Chris Rock and Will apologizes about it. What really kind of scared me, Russ, was this absolute rage that Will had after he sat down, walked off the stage, and gave it the leave my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Okay. Yeah.
And he said it twice, but holy man, was he mad.
Yeah.
What do you think of the whole thing, Russ?
To me, I don't know if it's staged or not. And I wouldn't doubt that there's a chance that it was, but I've watched all these different videos of the slow motion and he barely hits him.
Right.
And before he hits him, Chris Rock's closing his eyes and clenching his teeth. Like he knows he's getting hit. And I was talking to my wife about it. Like most guys who've ever been in a fight or ever been hit, prepare for it. like you back up, you put your arms up, like you, even if you're non-fighter, you're going to protect yourself.
Right.
And he just stood there with his hands to his side, closed his eyes and clenched his teeth. It looked like one of those punching games where you go, do you ever play this game? Want one? Mm-hmm. We used to play this game. Want one? And you'd hit a guy and you hit each other as hard as you hit one another. So if I punch you, you can only punch me as hard as I hit you. If I hit you hard, you can hit me as hard as I, you know what I'm saying? You match right. the punch. So yep. you stand there and you're grimacing, ready for the punch. You don't know how hard you're going to get hit. That's what it kind of looked like to me. But everybody's saying it wasn't staged. Right. And then his rage, like you said, it was weird. All it was really, weird. Really fucking weird. And
right.
really fucking Hollywood. And he's a member of Sherwood. And on the day before
who is Chris? Will.
So, oh, okay. I saw him golfing and I sent a note to Paris going, hey, Will and Jada are golfing because Paris did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And our kids, Trey and Allie, his son from his first marriage, are really good friends, graduated, went to school together. So Trey Smith has been at our house a million times. And I know Trey, I haven't seen him in years, but since high school, I guess. So we know that we know the families. Paris knows Will better than I do. I've only met him a few times, but it was fucking weird, man. It was so fucking weird. And it's just one of those cringe moments. Like after the fact, it's like,
right.
Uh-oh. You know what you just did?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what makes me think. The one side that makes me think it was fake, like you're saying, that's an interesting point, right? That he's coming up. If you look at it in slow mo, if I would have got slapped in the face that hard, okay, which isn't that hard,
right?
Okay, my head would sort of snap. Okay?
Yeah,
Chris Rock goes the full 4 feet down. You know what I mean? Like if he slaps him, he falls over at the waist, and I'm going, that's a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah,
okay, so that's what maybe makes it things fake. What makes me think it's not, what makes me think it is real, Russ, is if it's a joke, it doesn't make sense. Like they have no history. There's no, you know, it's like this doesn't fit in, man, as a joke, you know, as a prank.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying, Russ?
It's I know. That's why I'm saying it could go both ways. It looked fake to me, but, you know, I could believe it either way. And I listened to this Dan Bonijo or whatever. He's a conservative talk show guy and he's on Fox and stuff. And he came out and said, look, I've been in a lot of fights and this and that. And he goes, I don't think it was fake because the way Chris Rock acted or reacted afterwards, he was flustered. He was like, he didn't know what to say. He really acted weird after the fact. And so, you know, there's a guy who's a tough guy and a conservative who's dead against Hollywood people.
Right.
And he thought it was real, which I thought, you know, I listened to what he had to say because I thought he was going to tell us it was fake. And he said, no. So, you know what?
Snap. It was a snap by
Will. Who knows, but I'll tell you with the slow-mo hit. I mean, it was like, oh my God. My sister freaking has a better right hook than that.
So it makes me,
can I just back up? Cause
absolutely.
Cause Will's sure. Will's a member at Sherwood. So I wanted to get him golf balls, Titleist golf balls and get whatever his favorite number is, find that out.
Right.
And then put Slappy on, you know, you can custom and put him in his locker.
Awesome. Awesome. If he's a guy's guy, if he's like a hockey player, he'll be able to take the shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll be able to take the shot after you.
Right? From the boys. Yeah. Slappy.
Yeah.
As Gret says, you got to earn your nickname.
Right.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you one other story about Sherwood and then we can change subject.
Sure.
But a young kid that Gretz and I know, he's a member, full member at Sherwood. He's a really good golfer.
Right.
And we've had frost delays up until about a week ago. And you get an email in the morning. Everybody gets an email who's a member. And it says, we have a frost delay. First tee time, it will be at 8:30 to 9 o'clock. 9 to 9:30 approximately. So
we're backed up. Yep.
Yeah. So I normally have a 7:30, 7:45 tee time. So I wake up, it comes in at 6:05 AM. I check my email. If I got the delay, I lay in bed for half an hour extra before I go to the golf club. Yep. So, cause I'm a golf cart away. So this kid, Hunter, I'll tell you his first name, Hunter. He has the tee. He fucking got the first tee time, 7:30. So I was 7:35. I was like, how'd he get in front of me? Frost delay, first tee time's 8:30. He goes into the pro shop and he says, there's no frost out there. Tell Weeds, Neil Edwards, who yep. is the agronomist. He just tell Neil to fucking text me, but fuck you guys. I'm going out there. He was belligerent to the staff in there, went out, teed off. And I had two buddies, members. We waited and waited and waited. 8:30, we tee off. We're on three. Hunter's making the round. He's on seven.
Yeah.
And that's where you crisscross. I'm like, I can't believe it. He freaking went out. I mean, you just do not, you don't break rules at golf clubs. They take away your membership. So he gets suspended. He gets kicked out of a tournament, a member or something.
Yeah.
And so again, I'm going to buy him golf balls.
Frosty.
It was 33 degrees outside. So I'm putting the number 33 and his new nickname is Frosty.
Frosty. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's funny you bring that up because that happened at my course too. The same thing. The reason it's a huge infraction is because you break the grass, dude.
Yeah. You kill the grass.
You're killing the grass. You can't do it when it's frozen. So a lot of guys think it's, you know, just I'll go play. Well, you go ahead. But it's a huge infraction, you know.
Yeah.
These superintendents, man.
Oh my God, they're scientists.
Sleepless with looking after a golf course. So anyway, that's funny. So Rusty, about it's good, man. It's good. By the way, I saw your son-in-law in Brazil with his shirt off at a soccer match.
He's fucking ripped, eh?
Jesus, pal. Stop with that. You know, I can't look anymore. Yeah. I was like, it was like the funniest thing I ever saw you do at that fantasy camp when you were in the room with all the boys and Chelios had his shirt off and you put yours back on.
Yeah, that's about right. They're in Brazil. So Allie and my daughter, Allie and her fiance are in Brazil and they land and they find out there's a Brazil soccer game for the World Cup qualifier. So Eric calls his agent, they get tickets, they go to the game. And Eric had met a couple of the players in Europe the year before, wherever they play professionally that are from Brazil. Mm-hmm. So he sent them a text and said, hey, I'm in town. I'm at the game. Have a good game. Something like that.
Right.
Well, after the game, they get a text from those guys going, come to, is it Nomar? No, Nomar, the famous Brazilian.
Nomar. Yeah,
So he's having a birthday party for his sister. So my daughter was like ready to go to bed. And now they're all going to this party. They've just won. And she's having to get her freaking Courtney groove on and get ready to go to a party when she wanted to sleep. So they went,
honestly,
and they're both big Instagrammers. And the first thing when they get to the bar door, the restaurant, they're like, no phones. You have to leave them here in this box and you can get them when you leave. Ooh, so
good rule.
We have no pictures. Well, you know it best there. I'm surprised. Surprised you didn't win an award at the Oscars for best amateur video.
I got my buddies now speaking a nickname. Yosef Karsh is one of the most famous photographers ever. And now they're nicknaming me Yosef. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
That's all right. Yeah. Anyways, they had a good time and they're still there. They're having a great time. They love it.
I've never been.
Neither have I.
Maybe we're going to, you know, if we get really big, we'll do a show down there.
So
Rusty,
you had a better chance of seeing God.
This whole Will Smith thing. I said, I got to ask Rusty. Did it?
No. We got to refer to him as Slappy. Will.
Okay. Slappy. So Slappy.
Yeah.
Good luck to your buddy, Frosty. Hope he gets his membership back. Say hello to Weeds. Big fan of the show. Hey, Weeds. How are you, brother?
And you're what? Yosef?
Yosef Karsh. Yeah. Great photographer. Yeah. Taking all the pictures. Got a lot of nicknames. So I said, when I saw this Will Smith thing, what's weird, as you said, I got to ask Rusty, did any shit, Rusty, ever come down when you were playing in the locker room with player against player? Like, did anything ever bust loose? You know, it got me thinking. I got, because it does happen, right? We used to, in the old days, during training camps, people were lining up to get in there because there'd be a bunch of fights, you know, amongst for guys fighting to get on the team. Any, in all your years, Rusty, of hanging out in the locker room with your team, did anything ever come down? Some guy take on another guy, sucker punch a guy, anything strange?
Five guys tried to jump Wendell Clark when he's a rookie and shave him. And that didn't go over well for the five guys in Toronto. They all, it was funny. They tried to wrestle him down, and Clark, he just started freaking battling these guys and they just gave up. They were like, oh, this isn't worth it. So he never got shaved. I'm just trying to think. It was more coaches and players, you know, arguments with coaches and players.
Anyone ever give it the, yeah, yeah, you want to try? You want to try me?
Nah, there was guys who got into it with each other and, you know, just arguments. I don't think I ever saw, maybe in practice, there was a couple fights, right, but nothing in the locker room where guys were going at it or
went ballistic.
But, you know, there's always lots of fuck yous, like, you know, why you didn't see me? Why didn't you give, you know, fuck you? Like, I didn't see you, or, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. or nice sucker pass up the middle. What, you know, why'd you give me that pass? But nothing crazy. Like, you know, I said something to Chuck or Shane Chirla in Dallas. And I didn't think I was being a dick, but I was. And I kind of contradicted or whatever he was saying. I said, that's fucking bullshit and da da da. And he got really upset because we were super close teammates, like best of friends. And he got so upset. He was in tears after the game. He was so upset that I contradicted what he had said.
Right.
Like I was like, fuck, that's not right. We're doing this, you know, fuck that. You're not right. You know, something like that. And it wasn't, I was disagreeing with what he was interpreting that was going on the ice.
Right.
And he took it maybe the wrong way. Maybe I said it the wrong way, but anyways, nothing.
You never got suckered?
No, I mean, Dan Dau got in my face when I was a rookie or first year because I was teasing him and he was a veteran and he came into my locker space and was like, fuck you, you know, oh. Faith nose to nose because I was teasing him and he didn't like that, but
not you, know, you.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, I've been known to be a little lippy, Russ, like you. That's why you and I love each other because we're kind of lippy. And I was at the pub. I went to Carlton and I was lippy, but not a fighter.
Right. Okay?
I've never been in a fight. The ones I were in are these two stories. And so I got caught in the pub stealing someone's drinks.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And the bouncer saw me and the bouncers at the pub, they were all the football team. Okay. They
got yeah, caught. Of course. Yeah.
And the guy grabbed me and if I would have just shut my mouth, he said, okay, you got to go. Jungle. He even knew me. He said, Jungle, you got to go.
Yeah.
And so he's walking me out along the wall. Okay. The outside wall. And I'm going, you know, come on. He goes, just pipe down. Okay. You got to go. Come back in a couple hours. Okay. And the wall that he's walking me along is got this sort of stippled. It's not straight, flat drywall. It's stippled where they just throw mud against it.
Yeah.
Okay. Lethal. Okay, Russ. And so he's walking me along the wall and I try and break away from him. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going, forget that. And I try and run away and he grabs me, Russ, and he has me up against the wall and then just shoves my face against the wall and rips it down about 2.5 feet.
ouch.
He just goes like this. Stay ouch. With me. Vrat,
yeah.
Along the wall.
And Road rash.
Road rash for sure. That was my worst. And I got sucker kicked. I never got sucker punched. I got sucker kicked, lipping off a guy.
What was her name?
Yeah, it could have been. outside, we used to go to Hull all the time in Ottawa. You'd go over there to have drinks after because it was open till 3. Anyway, I called a guy a bad name and he booted me in the face. So that's my experience with
the. Well, you're missing one. You had three.
Oh, yeah, my brother. Okay.
Your brother fucking dented your head. Oh, my God.
He's a good puncher.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm going to have to put a picture of me up there on my nose one day. I showed it to you. I'll have to find
it. Oh, my God.
If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to share it with your friends and followers. Hit subscribe so you never miss a single episode. And be sure to visit our website, thesuspendables.com.
Let's go to let's talk about Eugene Melnyk. The reason you're a barometer at this is you've always made it your business to get close to the ownership on teams. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. You just do. You have this great rapport. And Eugene Melnyk died. I'd mentioned at the top of the show at 62, controversial owner in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, you know, today's maybe not the day to, this guy's been, you know, harped on and hacked on and chopped, you know, so badly over the years that he's been the owner of the Sens. He bought them in 03. I didn't realize.
I was just going to ask you when he bought them.
Yeah, so in 03. He
19 years.
He bailed out, a guy went bankrupt and he stepped up, you know, and without him, there wouldn't be a team in Ottawa.
There's a team in Ottawa. Oh,
yeah. Good one. Yeah, good one. Steve, our producer here, will be turning upside down.
Oh, Steve, he's going to lose it. I haven't even checked how they're doing. So yeah,
they're not doing very well.
That's sad. That's sad news. I mean, a young guy, 62 years old, that's only 6 years older than me, 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You're not going to comment.
Wait a minute, I didn't get that. No. 10 years younger than me. What?
He's 10
62.
Years.
62. Oh, gotcha.
72. Yeah, there you go. It's funny. But yeah. But sad day for obviously his family and friends. And, you know, and like you said before the show started, nobody really, we hadn't read about it or heard right. about him being ill. And anyways, anytime a young person passes like that, it's going to be horrible for everyone involved with him.
What's the toughest part, Rusty, of being an owner in the NHL? I could say you're close to the Vancouver guy. I give credit to Melnyk. He stepped up and bought that team for $130 million, bailed out a guy who was bankrupt. And if you look at what he's taken from fans and other owners and the press over the years has been just horrendous. I don't know mm-hmm. why anyone would want to go through what he did. But talk about ownership. Rusty, owning a team in the NHL.
Well, I think what some fans don't realize is that the owners want to win as badly as the fans do. But the fans, when the team's not winning, the fans take it out on, you know, the decision makers and the owners and the coaches. And so that's the hardest part I would say about owning any sports franchise is the losing. Mm-hmm. And because everybody wants to win, and you know, the fans are paying a lot of money. So they have a voice and they call in the radio shows. They talk to the newspapers. They talk to friends. They're
social media.
Jesus. They're passionate, you know, they're right. passionate, but so are the owners, but the owners are, you know, they're paying for it when they lose it's coming out of their pocket. And I guess there's something similar with a fan and an owner is they're both, you know, the fans paying,
right,
who come see the game. And if the team doesn't make the playoffs, usually the owner's paying too.
Right. Not every team is the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens or the Dallas Cowboys, you know, or
that they make money regardless.
Or the New York Yankees, right? Yeah. It's like, this is a home run, excuse the pun.
Yeah.
Ottawa's been a tough market, you know, and this guy hung in there. And, you know, I read a bunch of stories today about it. And one of the things that I really felt for the guy is when he said one day, some way back over the years when the team was in the tank, he said, "Give me a break, man. I am so tired of begging fans to buy tickets." So tough grind, man. And this guy stuck it out for many years.
You're right, but you're right that not every market is the same, you know, the New York Yankees and the Maple Leafs and others, Cowboys and
right.
Dodgers. I mean, go on and on and on of all these successful franchises that they do concern themselves with winning, but they don't have to worry about the money side and the selling of tickets because they sell themselves.
Yeah. How would you like to be the owner of the Phoenix Coyotes?
Oh, and Buffalo Sabres and Ottawa and you know, some of these places where you're what he said, begging people to go to the games and they don't have the corporate sponsors that these other teams have. And so they probably have a hell of a lot more stress than these big teams that have the financial success.
Of course. So, of course they do. Anyway, you know, all due respect to Eugene Melnyk and his family. Tough days ahead.
Yeah.
Rusty, the refereeing. Okay, Kyle Dubas from Toronto. There was an obvious miss call that resulted in a game winning goal. Speaking of Phoenix,
I actually saw it.
Yeah, penalty for sure. Right, it was on Austin Matthews. He's got the puck, and the guy, well, he hauls him down. He tackles him.
Yeah.
And Phoenix goes on to score and win
the game. In front of the ref too.
Right in front of the ref. So they go to Kyle Dubas. Even the coach nurse for the Raptors he had some bad calls the other night too. And they were interviewing him about it. And this guy was stepping gingerly, although they're frustrated that they can't really make comments about it. Dubas goes on to say, for sure it's frustrating, but he points out, Rusty, how about this stat? He said, one of the problems that Austin Matthews doesn't get the calls that Connor McDavid does. And if you doubt that, listen to this. Austin Matthews has had 9 calls against him.
That's unreal.
Okay. So that puts him 304th in the league.
That's crazy.
Connor McDavid, 44 times.
Yeah.
Puts him first in the league. Dubas says, well, he doesn't fall down very much. That's why. And he doesn't complain. But holy freak, Russ.
Yeah.
This is heinous, you know?
Yeah. Well, just goes to show you, you know, I think Austin we all know how fast McDavid is, but Austin Matthews he's an incredible skater. And so he doesn't get knocked off the puck as much, but the amount of times that he has the puck and he's only drawn 9 penalties is crazy.
Right.
That's like nuts.
So what do you do, Russ? You know, walk us through a game. You know, we've always heard and seen this, that they're going to balance penalties. You know, there's been 3 calls against the Oilers. So watch, it's going to come, which has always been odd to me. You know, they should do it like the NFL. Those guys call everything, no matter what they see, no matter what the deal is in the game. When you're playing, Rusty, is it a good idea to complain about the refereeing all the time, or you know, you got to get some calls? What's the balance there as a coach or a player, you know? Give us a call here, something.
When I played, I was more on the complaining side. We always had the politicians, every team has them. They go over and talk to the ref and go, don't worry about Russ. He's just upset. But you know, here's where we're, this is why we're, this is the reason why he's upset about this. And that, like, he kind of, you know, hey, yeah, we know he's yapping over there. Just ignore Russ, but here's the problem. So you get that Switzerland teammate that goes over and talks to the ref. But there has to be some communication, and it has to be positive communication with the referee, because they're human. And if you're a dick to them, they're going to be a dick back to you. So you really got to be careful what you say to them on the ice, because they'll hold it against you. And it's just human nature. If you're going to a bar and the bouncer, who's the referee, if you're a dick to him, guess what? You're going to the back of the fucking line.
Right.
If you slide him 20 or be nice to him, chances are you're going to get in.
Right.
The referee is exactly the same person. They can be dicks or they can be good guys. And which one do you want to be? And it's you get into the game and something happens and you get freaking slashed, and you know, it's a battle out there, and you get emotional. And when you get emotional, we all know what happens when we all get emotional in relationships,
At Will work, Smith.
Yeah, sloppy, frosty. We got a golfer got suspended.
Right.
And we got an actor who's going to get in shit or is right. in shit. So when we get emotional, then things don't go our way.
So if you're the commissioner of the league, though, Russ, and you wake up this morning and you see that stat.
I'm calling the head of the referee and go explain to me why the two best players in the world, one has 44 calls and one has 9. Just explain to me. I'm not questioning you. There's a big difference there. So explain to me why one, and if you can tell me why, then I'm good. But if you can't, then we need to do something about this.
What would be your guess, Russ, why it's so unbalanced? Why it's so
because your guy's a diver.
No, he's not. Not shut the freak up. He's not.
A diver. He's a whiner. He's a diver. And my guy in Toronto plays the game honestly. There you
go. Pipe down. Yeah.
Don't get emotional.
I won't. But I got. So how do you fix bad calls? Well, we'll see.
You know what? I was shocked when you told me that stat. So obviously I think everybody else is going to be shocked too. Like why are two of I think McDavid plays more minutes. At least he stays on the ice longer because he's selfish.
Oh Jesus. You're starting to piss me off with that take. Okay.
To piss me off. I'm kidding. I'm busting your balls, but he does play. I think he plays more minutes than,
pretty close. Though. They got to be pretty close.
But let's just say they're without looking it up. Okay. They're going to both be around the same. So it's interesting. It really is. I mean, they're not physical players. Austin's not a big body checker. I think that McDavid might have more hits than Austin.
Right. Yeah.
I don't watch McDavid a lot, but when I have, I think he's more physical than Austin. And when I've watched Austin and I'm like, wow, for a big, strong guy, he does not waste any energy hitting people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been an omelet, right? It's always a hat.
Yeah. An interesting stat. I'm telling you that like everybody's going to be paying attention from here on in. And what a great way for Dubas to get his point across without going, you fucking suck.
Right, right. Well, the weird thing there is, if it's the same referee, right, you go, okay, you only called 9 against Austin and 44, but it's not. It's a bunch of different refs, right?
Yeah, so it's like, totally. You're right.
What's up, boys? Are you on the phone? All you refs going, fuck Connor. Or fuck Matthews, you know? Don't give him the calls. But anyway.
That was a freaking joke. I watched that game. And when he got pulled down, I'm yelling at the TV going, that's a penalty. That's a penalty. Like, and Austin's throwing his hands in the air. Like, and then they score, which obviously made it even fucking worse.
Well, just do what the video review, Rusty. Obvious.
Yeah.
Play's dead. We got to look at this thing. Challenge flag like they do in football.
But the game would take forever if they did that. I don't know.
Brett Hull, foot in the crease. Remember?
Of course you do. Yeah.
Rusty, what else we got before we go? Canada. Oh, Canada, Rusty.
How great is that?
Yeah. They've qualified. Speaking of stats, they qualified for the World Cup first time since 1986.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where does this put Canadian soccer, Rusty? What part of the map?
Well, it I don't know, but it, you know, anytime your country wins like that and it's been a long time, it just does so much for the good of the game. There's going to be a lot of little kids out there watching and that are going to fall in love with soccer because of what they're watching. And it's just fantastic. And to see the team that we have and put together, I mean, what a talented group of athletes. Oh my God. It was so good to watch. And for them to do what they're doing is fantastic. And we're all proud of them and the way they played. And how about, can you imagine the game? Like they played and lost that game in Costa Rica?
Costa Rica, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful, right? Sunshine, it was freaking weather's. And then we go back to the next games in Toronto. I said to Paris, I go, Those poor Jamaicans. I mean, the Canadians. The Canadians are, well, at least we're used to the weather, right?
Yeah.
The Jamaicans are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So this is what those bobsledders were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you a true story. When I moved out here in 85 with Molson, Molson was the sponsor of the AAA team. Edmonton had a great AAA team. They were the affiliate with the California Angels at the time. And you know, it starts in April, but you're playing in Northern Alberta, okay?
Oh, boy.
And I went out to the airport, Russ, because we sponsored them. I had gifts for all the guys. And two of the guys were walking off the plane. It was down the stairs outside. And the one guy said, he was Puerto Rican. He said, fuck this. And he turned around and walked back up the stairs. It was like, it was like minus four or something. Anyway, Canada whips him. Scores four goals in that thing. So way to go, Team Canada. Rusty.
Yeah.
Are you into this? Cause we're having some, once in a while, there's trouble with it. Are you into this betting on sports now? It's all over every freaking game. I watched the golf this weekend was great. By the way, Corey Connors, Canadian kid, went to the final four of the match play. Mm-hmm. And every 2 minutes, Russ, it's obviously money they're talking about with sponsorship because all these betting houses have so much money. But every 2 or 3 minutes, it's like, here's the odds on whether that guy makes a par. Here's the odds on whether they score right now. Here's the odds on a freaking end in curling who's going to win. It's like, it's rampant.
Yeah,
it's rampant, and but it's reality. What do you think about it?
It doesn't bother me a bit. I've said on the show before, I like to gamble, more of a blackjack guy. I've bet a little bit on football, but when I'm watching the games, it doesn't bother me because it's not influencing me at all. It's not making me want to bet. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to the golf course, the young guys who work in the bag room are telling me like, what, you know, either asking my opinion or telling me. And today I showed up and the kid lost $75 because he bet the Kings. He goes, It was a lay down fucking bet. And the fucking Kraken, the worst team in the league, spanked my Kings. So they've, you know, anybody who's gambling like that, I guess it's obviously important to them. But for me, I, you know, when I watch something, it doesn't matter if they're telling me what the odds are and stuff. It's not affecting me at all. But that's where all the money's come. The revenue is going to come from that. The revenue is right now is big time from the gambling and the advertisement. And, you know, everybody wants your data and your information and all that stuff. The team's got to make money to pay these players. And so whatever they can do, you know, that's within reason. And the gambling's a big part of it. These guys, I watch these guys who are on TV now, and they got to talk about the odds and stuff. Like, some of these guys probably had to learn, or someone's in their ear telling them what to say.
What minus 375 means, you know?
Yeah, or who are you taking? Like, you got to go through each team, you know, are they going to win or lose and all that stuff. So you got to have an opinion for the gamblers.
I'll tell you what is, I don't want to say a grim reality, but this is a very, speaking of stats, this is really telling. So I do a curling podcast, as you know, with the great Kevin Martin, who's kind of the Wayne Gretzky of curling. And we've got sponsors. We got picked up by Sportsnet, this thing, and they've got sponsors lined up. Okay. Lined up. Yeah. We filled the card right away. Feel our frustration, you and I, trying to get sponsors, but they got five of them, and they've got four or five more betting houses, okay, who want to sponsor this curling thing. There was never betting. A company, Sports Interaction, sponsored it, and they opened up betting on curling.
Wow.
In the first 10 minutes, Rusty, that they started it, like they said, click, here you go, you can bet on curling. 7,000 bets were laid.
Oh, my God.
7,000 on a curling game were laid on this thing. And it's the way of the future, right?
And it's only going to get more people, because then their buddies are going to go, you know, you can bet on curling,
right?
You know, that one person is going to say, oh, he's going to tell two or three people that you can bet. Like when my son told me you could bet the over under on the anthem, I almost fell on the floor. Right. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Right.
So well, there you go. And then I've told 100 people that you could bet on the fucking anthem. And now I've got people DMing me who listen to our show going, why didn't you Why didn't you tell us? I didn't know.
Well, look at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. The biggest promotion in the Super Bowl is the halftime show.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, you know, speaking of things that are trying to get people to tune in. Russ, before we go, Sheldon Kennedy, I read this morning. He's formed a group called the Respect Group. I know your sons have lived through this and your wife have lived through this. It's about safety, inclusion, and respect. Sheldon Kennedy and Kim Davis have got the ear of the league, and they formed this group, and they had their first meeting with all the general managers at, I think it was in Florida, where the GMs all met. And I got to give this guy credit. You know, we know what he went through. Sheldon Kennedy was sexual abuse from the junior hockey coach. But they've got this voice that they've formed now, and the league is stepping up to saying, we've had our head in the sand about it. You know, more recently, the Chicago Blackhawks story, right? Where it's Kyle Beach, right? Got abused, and Chicago got harpooned about this because they didn't react to it very well. So anyway, there's you know Sheldon, of course, as all of us do.
Mm-hmm. Fucker used to run me.
Oh, did he?
Oh yeah, he used to run around because I was a small guy, and so was he. I remember him in Boston and just chirping all the time and full of energy, and you know, obviously nobody knew.
Right.
We all knew he had problems off the ice, but no one knew what the problem, like where it stemmed from. But anyways, right. He's doing great work. I mean, he really truly is, and he's a great voice, you know, for a lot of young kids and teenagers. So
if you don't think it's happening, Russ, explain to us about your son experience.
Racism. Yeah. Well, so my wife's black and our son's mixed, obviously. And twice when I was coaching him, once after the game, we're playing the San Jose Sharks, minor league, you know, minor team, like Pee Wee or Bantam. I think it was right. Bantam. And the kid shaking his hand after the game called him the N-word. Shaking his fucking hand.
No.
And yeah. And then the other time was right in front of our bench. His kid, you know, he and this kid hit. And Lawton wasn't a physical player like me. But they hit, and this kid called him the N-word. And thank God the ref was standing right beside him. And I was so proud of Lawton because he's dropped his gloves and fucking just beat the shit out of the kid.
Right.
And well, how can
you? I would, you know, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And with gloves on and helmets and masks. And so, you know, beating somebody up really doesn't really happen. But anyways, in the fucking league, gave the kid a 1 month suspension and a 2-game or 1-game suspension to Lawton for fighting. I couldn't fucking believe it. I was so disgusted. And the coach in San Jose that coached against us, I met with him after this kid shook Lawton's hand and called him the N-word. Jesus. And he goes, yeah, we've had trouble with this kid. We've had trouble. I believe it. I believe that he did it because there's kids around that heard this kid say it to him. And they we're in a weekend tournament and the kid's playing the next day. So that fucking kid didn't learn a thing from his coach. Just, oh, don't do that again, and plays mm-hmm. him. And I was so fucking disappointed. I was disappointed in myself that I didn't do more.
What do you mean you were disappointed in yourself?
Well, I wanted to fucking kill. After the game, I was waiting outside their locker room and I was livid, and the coach came out and talked to me. You could see I was upset. A couple of their parents started coming around, like this shit was going down. And then he said, let's go upstairs and talk about this over a beer. Let's mm-hmm. not do it here. We went upstairs. I settled down and we talked for about an hour, and fuck, he didn't do anything. Like he just wanted it to go away. And he told me everything I wanted to hear. And the next day I showed up, we played somebody else, and I went and watched their team, and the same kid was out there playing. So I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't do more. Like what I should have done is pulled our team and went home, or I should have phoned the league. I should have just mm-hmm. done more, and I didn't. And I to this day, I fucking am pissed off at myself that I didn't do more.
Right. And that's what Sheldon Kennedy's doing. Yeah. That he's stepped up to form this group, and he's got the league talking, because he said that it just what you said. It people just want it to go away, right? Yeah. And Sheldon's made a point about that. He said, this ain't going away.
Right.
And unless I do something about it, it will go away. So anyway, I just wanted to give him a little love for what they're doing. So
yeah, he's doing great stuff. We all we come from that era, you know, Theo Fleury and Kennedy, right, and myself and Jeff. And so, you know, we played against those guys and what they're doing, like what, you know, our cause is mental health, but they're helping abused children and people. And we're just so respectful and respect them for what they're doing, I should say.
Well, the racism's the one thing, right? That people are, it is opening up and people are talking about it more. Sheldon Kennedy, what he's taken on is, as he said, I'll tell you what the issue is with sexual abuse is it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it's way too uncomfortable at this point for people to talk about it, but we have to talk about it. And he's pleading with parents to say, just because it's uncomfortable, it doesn't mean you cannot talk about it. And so that's what he's doing. He's forging ahead here, saying there's a lot of uncomfortable stuff that we got to talk about. And the NHL is obligated to sort of step up and do it. And they agree.
When I wanted to get my coaching certificate in Canada, I had to go to this 3-hour coaches clinic. You had to go, and it was called Speak Out, I think. And I think it was Speak Out. And it was these two guys came and talked for 3 hours. And I learned so much about being a coach, being a parent, and being around children. Mm-hmm. And situations you don't want to put yourself in. Like as a coach, you never want to be alone in a locker room with a kid that you're coaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like in, you know, teachers, you take a kid into the classroom after class, would come here. I want to talk to you about, you know, your misbehaving or something. Like that shit doesn't fly anymore, because they say, what if one, you wouldn't, as a parent, you wouldn't want your kid alone with an adult. One.
Yes.
Two, as a parent or an adult, you don't want to be alone with a kid. What if the kid goes home and makes up a story and you can't back it up? So there's two things you got to worry about. And after we went through that, I came home and I said, Paris, I've learned nothing about hockey from this program they've taught. And I've learned a shitload about what we can and can't do. Like when the kids would have play dates, mm-hmm, and they'd have kids over in Paris, the kids would go, everybody gets tired and they go, okay, take so-and-so home. And I'd say to my kid, get in the car. No, I'm too tired. Just take Molly, Susie, Bobby, right, Jim, or whoever it was. No, you just, why don't you just drive him home? I don't want to go. And I'm like, get in the car. They didn't know why I was making them get in the car. I just made them get in the car, mm-hmm, so that I wasn't alone with this kid. I was taken back. And,
right,
and so I think what Sheldon's talking about is educating a lot of people. I didn't think like that until I took this coaching certificate thing in Canada in 2003. I think I started coaching, mm-hmm, and I had to take this course, and I learned a freaking hell of a lot, man. And I think everybody in that room learned a lot, and there's a lot more. I can go into a lot more detail on shit that goes on and what they teach you about what these pedophiles are looking for and how, mm-hmm, they try to groom kids and all this stuff. They go deep into that shit. But right, I'll tell you, as a parent and as a coach, I learned a freaking hell of a lot from that thing. And I think Sheldon probably is wanting to educate parents, you know, and kids
and teams
yeah, and just shit we never thought, you know, you just don't think that way. You know, when you volunteer to do something, but fuck, there's the odd bad guy bad person that's volunteering because it's a feeding ground for them for getting around these kids.
Right. By the way, they've half of the teams in the NHL have taken this, I think it's a 2 or 3 hour, I want to say, sensitivity sort of training that Sheldon is a part of. And he's, you know, they're going to get through all the teams by the end of June with this 2 or 3 hour session that they have to take about it. So, okay, Rusty, another show in the books. A lot of serious stuff today, but that's the way it goes. Your buddy Knuckles Nyland, you might get him on. Okay. I love this guy. He kind of like, okay, fuck everyone. You know, Canadians guy, Jonathan Drouin. Okay. You're faking it. Get back to play.
Knucks. I'm gonna group text you and him right now.
Okay. Well, and we'll get that done. So listen, Rusty boy, you have a good week. What's up for the rest of the week? What are you doing? It must be cold there. You got a sweater on.
Paris has got the air conditioning on in here, so I put the sweater on. No, it's actually a little bit cool outside. I golfed this morning.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, not great, but I golfed and just enjoying myself as usual and seeing friends and family and trying to improve on my average golf game.
There you go. I shoveled my driveway. That's what I did.
Oh, so. Jesus.
Take care, everybody. We're going to be back again next week with another, and we're working on some guests. Okay, I won't do it. Okay, I won't do it.
No, don't.
Yeah, I've asked some of your guys. They said to say hi to you, Russ, but they're not coming.
yeah.
I should have left your name out of it.
Yeah. That's great, Jimmy. That's great. Say hi to Russ, and no, I'm not coming.
Yeah, don't bother me again, or I'll call my lawyer. Yeah. Take it easy, everybody. We'll be back again. You've been listening to the Suspendables. Suspendables.com, by the way, for all the shows. And Suspendables at yahoo.com.
Attaboy. And I've got one thing I've got to pitch everyone who's listening to the show. Cortinal Society for Mental Health, April 1st, we are launching a auction for all kinds of stuff. Jerseys signed.
Online auction?
Yep. Yeah, online auction. Because we haven't been able to have a tournament and raise money and stuff, we're raising money through this auction. So if you go to the website, Cortinal Society for Mental Health, I think it starts April 1st. It'll be there for a couple months. And we got some really cool jerseys and packages and all kinds of stuff, rugby packages, dinner packages, trip.
Cool.
You can come to Sherwood. You can buy a trip and come play golf with yours truly. And I'll cook you dinner after too.
I know you don't know this yet, but I knew you were doing that. And as a surprise, I've put up your home address, your phone number. I know my favorite, Rusty, because Stevie and I did this morning show, and Johnny Rodenberg was our third guy. And we used to go to these charity things, right? They'd ask us to go. We had a ride. And there were always these silent auctions, right?
Yeah.
And JR would never buy anything.
Right.
I said, step up there, throw down 50. Like, these are out in the country. These are little auctions, you know, that you can do. And I'd get them every time. And they'd be, you know, they pull the sheets, Russ, on the silent auction. And they go, John Rodenberg. Knitting lessons for $75. Anyway, off we go, Rusty. Have a great week. By the way, what did I do? Suspendables.com, suspendables at yahoo.com. I got that right, man. I got it right. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Take it easy, Rusty.
Have a good week.
Oh, thesuspendables.com. Okay.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.